Well, we read the scripture in Proverbs 29. I'd like to focus in on one verse this morning for our text. And I'll read it. It says, just the first part of the verse, chapter 29, 18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Notice in that verse that the lack of vision from a leader in God's work means that people perish. I believe lack of vision in the pulpit means the people in the area where that pulpit is will perish. And when I think about perish, I think about John 3:16. It says there, letting Scripture interpret Scripture here in Proverbs 29:18, says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So God gave his Son so that people throughout all history and throughout the world would not perish, but have rather everlasting life. I am so glad for that. But I want you to know the word perish there means in John 3:16, die and go to a true place called hell and be there forever. And so when the people perish, that means people die and go to hell and there forever. You know, sadly, most people in the world will die and go to hell. Did you know that? Probably 95% or more of the people that I talk to and ask about their soul are dying and going to hell. And I've done it for many years. And so we need preachers, listen to me, with that vision, that will have such a vision that people around them will not die and go to hell because they have no vision, because they're is no vision. I'm saying to you this morning, and my message to you this morning is, where there is no vision, people perish. Now you say, what is vision? Vision means you have good spiritual sight. And I would compare it to a person with good physical sight. You know, as people get older, they can't read things very well. They need the reading glasses on. And if you don't have good physical sight, you can't read things well. So vision is the ability to see, listen to me, that which would be invisible to the naked eye. And you can see and have the ability to see that which you could not see otherwise. And God says that the vision that gives you the ability to see is, in the rest of this verse, the Word of God. The Word of God opens your understanding to see another realm that is not visible to the naked eye. And that's the kind of vision that we need. In other words, I think of a man, not Robert Booth. Robert Booth is here with his brother there sitting there. But a guy by the name of Edwin Booth. Edwin Booth was the head of the founder of the Salvation Army. Now, it's more army now than salvation. But back in the 19th century in England, Edwin Booth had a desire for people to be saved. People to be saved. And you know what? There are not enough people that are focusing in on the fact that people need to be saved. And Edwin Booth, he wanted to get people saved. And so he made this statement. He said this. He said, every Christian worker needs to be suspended over hell for 5 minutes. Every Christian worker that goes out those doors and goes about their business needs to be and could use to be suspended over hell for 5 minutes. Have you ever thought about that? People are dying and going to hell. We just had a president that was one part of an ear away from dying, leaving this world. And somebody did die that I know about that was in that crowd suddenly. You mentioned Coco to me, Marilla, and you, Awilda, that he just died. A friend of ours just died. People are dying and dying and dying, and most people are dying and going to hell. The Bible speaks of the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Myriads of people. Jesus said the broad way. Didn't he say it? The broad way leads to destruction. Many there be that go that way. Narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. Oh, there needs to be leaders in churches that have the vision to see what the naked eye cannot see. To see that hell is yawning and people are crying and they're screaming and people are dying and they're going to hell every day. I'm saying where there is no vision of that, people will perish. And let me say this, number one, because leaders need vision and they need people that buy into that vision. Leaders need vision and people that buy into that vision. I think you would admit that Donald J. Trump has a vision that he can see America the way it once was when he was younger, and he wants to make America great again like that. There's nothing negative about that. That is a vision. That is something he's focused on, something he can see. Many young people can't see that. They've been brought up in the America of today. They've been brought up in the America that has gone away from the good things that God has given America and gone more into communism and socialism and into corruption, into globalism. And Donald Trump has that vision to want to make America great again and to get it back to where it was in a practical sense. And he took a bullet. It hit him in the ear just because he turned his head a little bit to talk. And the bullet hit him in the ear as an AR rifle shot it with a scope from a roof. And he turned his head. But Donald J. Trump, he went down on the ground. He came back up with blood on the side of his face, American flag above him. And he went like this. That didn't shake his vision. That didn't shake his tenacity. All the threats to put him in jail, all the court cases, a guy 78 years old, they impeached him twice, they've lied about him, they've slandered him, they've attacked him, he could be on a yacht as a multi-billionaire sipping whatever he would be sipping and relaxing. But no, he's got vision, and because of that vision, he is focused, focused, focused on what America needs. Now listen to me. Where there is no vision, America goes to hell in a handbasket. If you or I allow the same person in the White House to run it, it's going to go right down the hill. I'm just saying to you, we need vision, but we've got corruption. We've got people that are taking money. You know, money blinds people's eyes. It blinds people's eyes. They take that money. They just want the cool life, the comfortable life. And Donald Trump left that. He didn't take any money when he went to the White House, and he went down. Now, we need vision. I'm thinking of a guy I heard when he was shot, when he was standing up there and he was shot in the ear, and people died around him and were critically wounded by that AR rifle. When that was happening, I heard him say, a guy was standing back right by the building where the 20-year-old Matthew Thomas Crooks got there on a ladder, crawled across the building, and the guy could see him for 2 to 3 minutes going up there, and he saw he had a rifle. And he saw police right around there, and he's screaming out, "Hey, that guy's got a rifle! He's going up there! He's going up there!" The Secret Service had binoculars, and they're looking at this guy who's standing by the building, and the guy is pointing like this to the guy. They didn't take Donald Trump and throw him down. They didn't take him and protect him. Nobody did anything. Nobody did a thing. But you see, God did something. He turned his head just as those shots went off, multiple shots went off with an AR scope at quite an easy distance to kill somebody sitting on a roof. God spared him. God spared him, unlike John F. Kennedy. I'm just saying to you, this guy had vision. He saw and he said something about it. They say, you see something, say something. Amen. And you might not be able to save everybody, but you need the vision. And if you can't be a soul winner, at least to God you could be a soul warner. But too many preachers, they're just concerned about getting their paycheck and having their relaxed lifestyle and having the easy, good life. And people are dying and going to hell. It's time to see it, and it's time to speak up about it. And I'm saying leaders in churches need that kind of vision, and they need people that will tie in to that vision. I'm thinking of a great preacher. He was in Texas, and he enjoyed his life in Texas and was having a great ministry down there. And then he went up to Chicago to preach. And while he went up to Chicago to preach, this great preacher was driving through the ghettos of Chicago. Now, he lived in the places in Texas where it was pretty nice at that point in his life, but he was driving through the ghettos and he saw all those people, and just tears were streaming down his eyes as he saw all these kids that were dying and going to hell and never getting out of Chicago. And you know what? He had vision for those young people. He could see those young people saved. He could see those young people serving God. I love it when I go into the projects around Scranton and I have vision to see young people get saved. I have vision to see them getting in a Christian school after they get on a school bus. I have vision to see them going off after Christian school, being trained for the ministry in a Bible college. And I have vision to see them having godly homes, becoming godly preachers or preachers' wives and servants of God. I have vision to see that. And this preacher could see all of those things as he went through there. And boy, we need to have people that have that vision. We need to have preachers, and we need to have people. That same preacher had people that bought into that vision. You know what? I believe I have that vision, and I believe I have people that have bought into that vision. People in this church. I'm talking about bus workers. I'm saying bus workers need to have vision. Last week, it was hot. I was in my car, and it's been hot. I've had times in bus ministry where I have my car. I thank God my wife went to Florida. She said, use my car. She's got air conditioning. And it's hot. Not as hot as hell, though. Not as hot as hell. And I went out there, and it was hot, and we were going at it. Brother Matt and I were going at it. But I think we had air conditioning last week. And Matt and I were going at it, and we went for hours. I don't know, 5-6 hours, knocking on doors, doing his bus route. And we had people. We had about 29 people signed up to come to church. Out of that, I figured we'd get around 20 or thereabouts, you know, we said. And then I got a call in the morning, and Brother Kyle, the bus driver, out of nowhere called me up and said, I can't drive this morning. I'm like, oh man, it's like Saturday, Sunday morning, and it's too late to get anybody. And he went into why he couldn't drive, and I was like, oh man, that's not a call I wanted to get. It was so disappointing. And I think you had, what, 12 people that was all could come, no bus. It was a mess. And I got a call from Kyle this morning. And I'm like, I don't want to see Kyle. It's the last guy I want to see. I talked to him yesterday 2-3 times. Everything's going to be fine. We're going to be lined up. And all these workers out there all day. And he called up and said, man, I'm so tired. I'm so tired from driving. I said, but thank God, Kyle said, he talked to Miss Shooty. And he said, I'm gonna have her drive. She talked to me. I'm going to have her drive to pick them up. And he said, I'll even contribute toward that, what the cost of that. And he said, I'll drive to bring them back. That way I get a little extra help there. And I said, well, good, you solved the problem. Because I'm just like, that's not a call I want to get. Because I got people that bought into that vision. And if you don't buy into that vision, you're going to always have to be pushed. push. You know, the preacher went to the subway station. He just kept laughing all the time. He'd see the trains go in, the trains go out, trains go in, the trains go out. He'd just laugh. They said, "Preacher, why are you laughing?" He said, "I just go down to that train station and I see trains going in and trains going out. Something I don't have to push. They just run by themselves. I love it. It just makes me happy." You know, a preacher loves it when he doesn't have to push people, because you have vision. You see it. And you go out there. Tom Lydon goes out and goes out in the bus stop and he tells people about Jesus because he has vision. He sees people dying and going to hell. He can see them in hell screaming in the flames. "Why didn't you warn me? Why didn't you tell me?" And what a blessing that is. You know, we have ice cream sundae. Everybody gets an ice cream cone tomorrow. You know, ice cream cones, they cost about $25 to $100 a cone anymore, right? And so I said, "We'll have a free ice cream cone, you know, come on out." But you know what? I said, "Who's going to serve the ice cream?" Well, Miss Angela and Miss Diane said, we got that set up. Miss Diane called me and said, "Miss Alicia said to call you. She's gone." She said, "What can I do?" And she said, "I can buy the cones. I'll buy the cones. Yeah, I'll buy the ice cream." And so she did it. You know, well, of course, church pays for it, but she went out and got it. And vision. I'm talking about vision. Talking about vision. How about people that just give? They give the tithes and offerings. They give because they have vision. I'm going to invest in a church that has vision. I'm going to invest in a preacher's ministry that has vision. You know, Donald Trump, the reason why people give to him and keep giving to him is they see a man that has vision for America. And so they're giving him gifts of $25 to $40-some, just small gifts. Thank God for that. I'm just saying, you need to have vision and you need to do something about it. Why? Because where there is no vision, people die and go to hell, and you need to do something about it. Right. You know, Jack Hiles, the great preacher, was at a ranch. I believe it was a ranch down south, and he was on a horse, and a young seminary student, a young preacher boy that was going to be a preacher, he said, "You know what? I have to decide what kind of pastor I'm going to be." And he came up to Jack Hiles and he said, "I'm doing a paper to decide what kind of pastor I'm going to be." And Brother Hiles said, "What do you mean, what kind of pastor you're going to be?" He said, "Well, I have to decide whether I'm going to be a hellfire and damnation preacher like you, or whether I'm going to be a religious lectureship preacher like so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so." He said, "I've already interviewed the religious lectureship kind of a pastor who just teaches and that's it." He said, and now he said, "I want to get your side and what do you have to say in favor of your kind of church, a hellfire and damnation church?" And Brother Hiles looked at him, he just said, "Is there hell?" And the guy said, "Yeah, of course we know that, but let me just get your thoughts on this. Why are you a hellfire and damnation preacher?" He said, "Is there a hell?" He said, "Well, of course I know that, but I'm trying to get why you are what you are." He said, "Is there a hell where people die and where people are in fire and it's literal and they're hopeless and they can never get out of there and they're screaming and they're tormented day and night forever and ever and ever? Is there a hell?" And you know, that answered it. And do you have the vision of that? If you do, you will save people. You will save them through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is the way out of hell. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you believe that, you will do your part. You will buy into the vision. I'm saying where there is no vision, the people perish. They die and go to hell because leaders need vision, and people that buy into that vision are needed. Number two, because leaders have the wrong vision and their people buy into that wrong vision. I've had people that are in this church and they don't like what I'm preaching. They don't like what I say when I say everybody ought to be clicking around the man of God to fulfill the Great Commission. They would rather have a religious lectureship. They would rather be looked at as a great teacher and maybe a great person, a counselor, and they are in it for that. I want to say to you, I am not in it for that. I'm in it to win it, to win people for Jesus.
Amen.
And so we don't agree on those kind of things. We conflict on those kind of things. And if two walk together, they need to be agreed. Amen and amen. By the way, you shouldn't marry somebody you can't get together with and click with and doesn't help you. One thing I noticed about my wife is when I started hanging out with her, she encouraged me to do God's work. Amen. I got around her. She always encouraged me. She helped me. Some women are exuberant blessings. Others are just merely excess baggage that slow you down in the ministry. And you don't need that.
Right.
You don't need it. I said you don't need it. I don't know how I got off on that. But anyway, where there is no vision, the people perish. We need people that are leaders that have that vision and that buy into that vision, because there are leaders that have wrong vision, number two, and their people, those that buy into that. And it's easy to buy into that because it's easy. Just relax, get entertained. It's like a bunch of babies that are being entertained, being taught truths of the Bible. I know more truths of the Bible than a lot of people. I have more in my little pink finger than they have in their whole body. But I want to feed people that what they need to carry out the vision of God for their lives and to get people saved so they don't die and go to hell. Because people have leaders with the wrong vision and people that buy in to that vision. I'm thinking about a guy years ago, a great preacher. He went to pastor school. He started to build a great soul winning church. In fact, I'll tell you the church. It was the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia. He built a great church and a great ministry. I used to watch him on the old time gospel hour. How many know Jerry Falwell? Senior, Jerry Falwell Senior. We heard about Junior and not too good. But Jerry Senior made a fatal mistake. He saw America going to hell. Now, he wasn't a politician or a businessman become a politician like Donald Trump. No, he's a pastor. And Jerry Falwell decided, I got to save America. So I'm going to start something called the Moral Majority. How many have heard of the Moral Majority? And that's what he gave most of his time in his life to. And he made a great... But you know what? He didn't do the vision for a pastor. And instead of organizing his church into having bus captains and soul winning outreach and getting people saved, he organized his church, Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg, Virginia, to have precinct captains. Now, that's a great strategy. I talked to Brother Bob about that. And by the way, you can register to vote back there. And we encourage you to do that. Brother Bob will help you with that. But Brother Bob is out on soul winning. He was out Thursday night. His team led people to the Lord. In this church, Brother Bob knows a strategy to go into precincts and to help with the voting. But I'm not going to organize this church into precinct captains. And have a... Now, there's a place for that, for citizens. But that's not the place of the pastor of the local church. No, no. I'm going to carry out the great commission of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to lead you to do that, to buy in that vision, because we've got pastors with wrong vision. And that was Jerry Falwell, and he got... it would kind of like be, you're fighting World War II, and the vision is to win World War II. The vision is to defeat Hitler and the Nazis and the Third Reich, and you're going to do that, and you're fighting it. And then somebody says, hey, we got a mosquito problem. The Germans have it, we have it, the Nazis have it, we have it. Let's get together and have a consultation to fight mosquitoes and fight malaria. And so you get together with Hitler's people and in the meantime you lose the war. And the Nazis take over and you have National Socialism rule the world. No, you got to fight that war. And today I'm saying to you that there are pastors, leaders that have the wrong vision, and their people buy into that vision. Everything rises and falls on leadership, and you need to have the right kind of leadership. And if you do, people will buy into that vision. But I'll tell you, I love being out on bus ministry. I'm a bus worker. I help this guy. You say, why do you do that? Because I want to have that vision, Brother Steve. I don't want to lose that vision. I don't want to get old and be out of it. I want to be in it and stay in it. And if I can't cut the mustard, then I'll get out. Donald Trump is in it to win it, to make America great again. And we need preachers with vision that see people are dying and going to hell and are leading the church by their example and by their organization and everything else they can do to win people to Christ so they can be saved. And by the way, can I say it? If you're here and you're not saved, then you will die and go to hell. Most people will. Jesus said, I'm the narrow way, the narrow way. He said, I am the way, not a way. I am the way, the truth. I'm telling you the God's honest truth. Trump talks about fake news, and there are a lot of fake gospels. You don't get saved by the sacraments. You don't get saved by good works. You don't get saved by being a Mormon or a false Jehovah's false witness or an Islamic liar, a demon-possessed man. You get saved by Jesus Christ alone. And you must come to Him alone and trust Him. And He'll save you. He said, I won't turn anybody away that comes to me. But you come empty-handed and you receive the gift of God. If you haven't done it, would you do it today? God's calling upon you to do it today. That's why you're here today. But if you're here and you're already saved, you need to buy into this vision. I'm not going to leave it. I'm not going to leave it because some Absalom comes up and exalts himself like Absalom did, David's son. And he said, I'm the king. And he took David's counselors and he tried to take David's people. And but he wasn't the king, right? He wasn't the king. Follow those that have God's vision. Amen. And because leaders need vision and people to buy into that vision, because leaders do have the wrong vision, they get people to die into that vision. I was out Thursday night also, all church soul winning. Not out only out Saturday helping him, but all church soul winning. And I was knocking on doors, and I went to this door and found out that there was a man that came up to us, and he said, oh, Pastor Bloom. At first, I didn't know who he was. I realized, oh, yeah, he went to our picnic. His name is Gregory. And there was a lady there named Linda and then her mother. And Diane Payone at the church picnic saw these two ladies and talked to them about how to be saved from going to hell. And she told them about Jesus Christ dying on the cross and paying for our sins and being buried. And she said, would you like to pray to receive the risen Christ as your Savior? And they said, yes. And they prayed with you, Diane. And I went there. And I thought, how great that is. That there are people in this church, like Diane Payone. They buy into that vision. Their life is always ready to fulfill that vision. And we had another place I went out on Thursday night. I didn't know what I was going to deal with. And a middle-class man came to the door. He had a very nice house. And this guy is, he said, I used to work on Comcast in the lines and doing the Comcast installation. But now he's in the administration. He's quite high up in Comcast. And we talked to him, and he said, yeah, my wife is quite religious. But I said, yeah, but you need to be saved. I said, it's not just a religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I said, it's a living Christ. I said, who's on the $1 bill? He said, well, George Washington. I said, who's on the $5? He didn't know. I said, who's on the $100? Benjamin Franklin. He knew that one. And I said, well, do you personally know Ben or personally know Abe or personally know George? No, you don't. They're dead men. They're men of history. Jesus is a man that died in history. But listen, he's alive. And you need to know him to have life eternal. And I said, that's what your wife needs and possibly had. And I said, that's what you need. And you know what he said? He had some questions. He asked me some questions. I said, all of those things are secondary to you being saved by Jesus Christ. Once you get saved, you'll have the Holy Spirit. He'll help you to understand a lot more of this Bible. And you know, right there, he bowed his head and he prayed to receive Christ. We had Steve Manning and Brenda, and we had Arian with us, Brenda's grandson there, Steve's. And I had Arian ask him the two spiritual questions. And he just loves to go out soul winning. You say, why do you do that? I like little young people to buy into that vision. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained praise, Jesus said, quoting the Psalms. I'm talking about vision and preachers and leaders that have the wrong vision and get people that die into that vision. And you know what? A lot of people perish and go to hell. And I wouldn't want to be in their shoes when they stand before the Lord because they've led people to give money, tons of money. We're not a rich church. There are churches that have oodles of money. And they're not investing it in the right vision. Get and invest your money in the right vision. Amen. If we get money, we try to use it wisely, but we spend it on the work of God. We can't hold it forever because it'll be rusty, and you don't want that, and have people die and go to hell. Anyway, I was at that door, and that guy prayed to receive Christ, and come to find out Diane Payone had led his wife to the Lord. And open the way for us to go. There's a lady that's buying into that vision. Amen. How about you? She's sick half the time. I have to pray for her to get up. Her oxygen dropped down to 74. If my son was here, he's got a medical license as a doctor, he would drop. He'd be like, wow, 74. But she keeps going. I'm seeing where there is no vision, the people perish. Leaders need vision and people to buy into it. Leaders have wrong vision and people are buying into it. And lastly, because this leader right here has the right vision. Notice what the verse says. Let me read it and you follow. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. What's the law? The Word of God. The Bible. And if you follow the Bible, you're going to be happy, Brother Jesse. You know what it says in Acts 1:8? It says, Jesus said this. He said, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. You know what? If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you will have a witnessing going on. You will be seeing and speaking to others about Jesus Christ and inviting them to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And it starts in Jerusalem. Now, what's Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the place where the early church started. But it didn't stay there. It went on to Antioch. It went on to Rome. It went on to Europe. It went on to America. It's gone on to the East. It's gone around the world. In other words, this gospel is supposed to go forward, and if you have vision, you'll be doing that, but you'll start with your Jerusalem. You say, Pastor, what's your vision? My Jerusalem is from Carbondale to Wilkes-Barre, from Moscow to Tunkhannock. That equates to Jerusalem back in the day with the technology. This is our Jerusalem. This is for our local church. And my vision is to get the gospel out there and to run buses out there, but not only buses, to reach out and knock on doors and have middle class people come in and be saved and serve the Lord. I want to see it, and I want to see this building on a Sunday morning be filled, every pew, not a place to sit. And then have to have two services Sunday morning to accommodate everybody, and at least one Sunday evening. And to fill our Jerusalem, and then to go from there into our Judea. You say, what do you mean? To train men that would, listen to me, to train men that could have churches in Hazleton or Stroudsburg or in our Judea, in other places in Pennsylvania. That's the best thing we can do for our country. And then it says Samaria, that means the United States, to plant churches in America. And we're praying for God to deliver America from the kind of systems of evil that are over America that would try to kill a president. And try to be crooks, pun intended. Try to be crooks to steal an election. Not just once, but twice, but just keep doing it. Try to do that. Because we don't want the people to vote for what they need. We want them to get what we want. That's of Satan. He's a control freak. I want to see America freed. But what's the best thing we could do? Pray for God to judge the systems of evil over America. Preach on it. But have the vision to reach with churches this country that preach the Bible. De Tocqueville said when he came from Europe, the thing that made America different than Europe, he couldn't figure it out. As I've said many times, he went into Congress, he went into the Capitol, he couldn't figure it out. He went into businesses, he couldn't figure it out. Finally, he went into the churches, into the pulpits of the American preachers back in those days in the 1800s. And he said, now I see what makes America distinct from Europe. But you see, the churches need to get back to God's vision. And we need people like you, if you're saved, to buy into that vision wholeheartedly. Not to be push, but where you will say, here I am, send me. Amen. And we need people that come and say, hey, I don't even have the uniform on. I get saved. What do I do? Get baptized. Come on, join the church. And then if you're not saved, like most people are not out there, come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as your personal Savior. You can't live on your dad's faith or your mom's faith, or you can't go to heaven by your brother's faith or your sister's faith. The Bible said Jesus came to bring a sword. He divides mother and daughter and daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, and so forth. It's based on Jesus Christ and your faith in Him and putting Him first. You know, a lot of people, they don't follow Christ because of some family member. Don't wait for a family member to get baptized. You get baptized. Yep. Take a picture. Amen. Don't wait for a family member to say you can get saved. You'll die before you see that family member, perhaps. You trust Christ. Yep. Do what He wants you to do. Just determine it. And so, there is a vision. Because this leader right here has the right vision. Why don't you invest your life in it here? You say, well, it's just a little church and a little place. Hey, it was a little place where Jesus was raised, called Nazareth. A little town where He was born, called Bethlehem. He had a little band of Motley Crue people. Not the singing group. He had a band of Motley Crue people. They weren't educated in the famous schools of the Jewish people. They had a little school that was the school of Jesus. And they went around with Him and learned by going out with Him. I like our Sons of the Prophets Baptist College. You learn by being with great men of God and learning from those great men of God, but by going out and doing it. I'm saying that's what we need. And today, the Lord is reminding you, where there is no vision, the people perish. Let's not let that happen on our watch. Amen and amen. Let's bow for prayer. We've been talking about where there is no vision, the people perish. They